What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Work moves fast, from emails and reports to proposals and updates. You're expected to think clearly, write confidently, and get it right the first time. And every message counts. That's where Grammarly comes in. It gives you everything you need to think, write, and finish in one place. Or anywhere you type and text. You'll never have to switch tools or tabs. Grammarly's AI agents are built for how you work and where you work, so you can find the right words, adjust your tone, and predict how your message might land before you hit send. Your ideas will get a boost, while still sounding natural, credible, and just the way you want. For nearly 17 years, Grammarly has been the standard for responsible AI. It's the premier writing tool that 93% of users trust to get more work done. In a world of generic AI, don't sound like everyone else. With Grammarly, you never will. Download Grammarly for free at Grammarly.com. That's Grammarly.com.
What party have you historically voted for in your life?
Republican.
Who did you vote for?
Trump.
So, now going back to that, because I had a feeling that was going to be the answer, why do you think you can vote away my basic human rights and expect a relationship with me?
I'm just going to spoil it. She never says what rights are being taken away. None of these people having crash outs over politics know even the smallest of specific details on the things that they're mad about, or even know what things like rights are. But this person who still wears a mask in 2025 is a 24-year-old girl who calls herself Raven, and she's talking to her 82-year-old grandpa, Frank. After 1 year of not speaking to him, Raven has decided to interview him and discuss their values.
So I'm trying not to interject, but can we maybe just simplify it to that the way you vote is because you just don't agree with the Democratic Party, so you're voting against the Democratic Party. Can we simplify it to that?
Right. That probably describes at least half of the people who are voting.
Can you see, after all of these questions and having this talk with me, if I continue to have a relationship with you without absolutely any change in your behavior, how I would be enabling fascism?
That's a pretty strong claim. Now, is she going to go into any specific detail on how all these people are fascist? No, not really. Anyway, for the past, I don't know, decade almost, there's been a particularly strong push from leftists to destroy their families over political differences. Personally, I feel like every family has at least one person like Raven, which is really not that much of an issue if they keep their problems to themselves. However, oftentimes it's not just about one person causing a scene. It's that person causing a scene and then trying to narcissistically pit everyone against each other by forcing them to pick sides. Most families are made up of people with varying political views, so it gets a little concerning watching video after video of leftists ripping their families apart over disagreements on politics.
So last night, I told my mom and dad that because they voted for someone who wants me dead, that they no longer have the privilege of having their daughter and their granddaughters in their life. And I told them, never contact me again. I'm never calling you. I want nothing to do with you.
I mean, there are just so many videos like this out there.
I went no contact with my parents 2 weeks before the election because they voted. I found out that they voted for Trump for a third time. They do everything but say, I'm so sorry that I voted to take away your rights as a woman, as a queer person, and as a federal employee. Don't care, guys. I just want you to say that you're Nazis now.
So I think the more nefarious part of this is the part where these people are taking multiple innocent bystanders with them, like kids, or they're emotionally blackmailing people to pick a side, all while repeating the same few words or phrases like Nazi or you're taking my rights away. I say this because when you have tons of people who in lockstep are saying these same exact things, it's not because they all independently thought of this stuff themselves. It's because they're being told to say it. Here's The Guardian telling you to punish your family for voting for Trump in 2016. Here's them saying it again this year, but half walking it back, not because they had a change of heart, but because ostracizing Trump voters wasn't an effective strategy. Here's BuzzFeed sharing a bunch of stories and giving social proof to people who disown family and friends over Trump. And here's Joy Reid from MSNBC talking to a Yale psychiatrist who is telling viewers to cut people who voted for Trump out of their lives.
When you know someone voted that way, do you recommend, just from a psychological standpoint, being around them?
If you are going into a situation where you have family members, where you have close friends who you know have voted in ways that are against you, it's completely fine to not be around those people and to tell them why.
The most disgusting thing about this is that they're using a psychology professional to say it, which implies that it's the mentally healthy thing to do. And that brings us back to Raven.
Hi, I'm Raven. I'm a disabled queer communist.
She's also polyamorous and unemployed. So there's all of her tags. And of course, the purple hair and the septum piercing never fails to identify someone who is about to have an insane take. That being said, let's have Raven educate us on politics. But first, just for context, this interview was an hour long, but she only uploaded 9 minutes of it. So understand that even though this next moment occurs at almost the start of her video, Raven and her grandpa have been talking for a while.
Now that I've asked my questions and I've allowed you to speak, it's my turn to speak and read my summary, and I ask you to not interrupt. The series of questions was created to underline the interconnectedness of our personal and political lives. That's what I was trying to do. We cannot put politics to the side. The American empire was built off black and indigenous slavery and genocide.
I mean, that's a really uninformed perspective on politics. Lots of places still have slavery or near slavery in the modern day, and I can't think of one that's not a third world country. You can't build a country as successful as America with slavery, and all the great innovations of this country came after it was abolished. Now, since you're a communist, I suggest that you look into Russia, a country that in the 1900s enslaved and mass murdered their own population under communism. However, slaves would so often damage or sabotage the things that they were creating, like railroads, that books like The Gulag Archipelago insist that slavery was actually more expensive than free market labor. America did not become a powerhouse because of slavery. America is successful because of its institutional limitations on abusers. Power is almost always eventually seized by liars, cheaters, and thieves. The countries that do well are the ones that have the best protections against that. This is described very well in a great book that I surprisingly found on the bookshelf of Hassan Piker, of all people, called Why Nations Fail.
Our system is not here to save us. It is here to exploit us. Capitalism is a cycle of exploitation. You are either getting exploited or you are exploiting others. If I allow somebody in my life that supports these ideologies, I just enable them.
She says this as she exploits drama with her grandpa for views in multiple videos. I wonder what her definition of exploitation is, especially considering that she's a follower of communism, which is one of the most exploitative and murderous ideologies known to modern history. Now, I'm sure these people know what a spectrum is, since they use that word all the time. Politics is a spectrum of relative behavior. There's never going to be a perfect political system where everyone is perfectly happy and everything is okay. Political progress is about making things one step better than it was before, and you have to be realistic about who politicians actually are and how the game of politics is played. I tend to agree with a book called The Dictator's Handbook, where they say that generally the goal of politicians is to stay in power as long as possible while enriching themselves and their friends who got them into power as much as possible. In the book, this is understood as merely a fact of nature, and designing a system without that in mind will doom that system to fail. This is why the founding fathers of America created things like the Bill of Rights, which sets limitations on government power for the purpose of making tyranny more difficult.
I spent years educating you. If you truly, unconditionally loved me, your politics would reflect that. You wouldn't have spent the majority of your life voting my rights away. That is not unconditional love. I will always be the child in this situation, and you will always be the adult, with many years on me. Allowing a relationship with you would allow you to believe that there are no consequences for the way that you vote. Again, this is not a debate. These are my boundaries.
Education? You aren't educating anyone in this video. You're talking at someone. Real education takes real care, patience, and kindness. Belittlement, shame, and guilt does not equal education. I'm assuming that Raven means these words to only apply to people who agree with her, because when people don't agree with her, she shames them for not voting correctly, talks to them like they're a child, and threatens abandonment for not having the exact same opinion that she has. And it's not like Grandpa Frank is dismissive of her. Clearly he listens and can accurately say what her values are when she asks.
Do you know what I would label myself politically?
Well, I would tend to think that you're neither, because neither one is doing the right thing.
I wish she uploaded the full hour. I would have loved to hear how her grandpa responded to her questions. Instead, we got Raven going on a tirade the whole time. I mean, multiple times she says this is an interview, but anyone watching can clearly see that this is a tribunal where Raven is here to judge and chastise Grandpa for voting the wrong way.
My politics and my political life are completely intertwined. You can't vote away my basic human rights and expect a relationship with me. You just can't, Grandpa. I shouldn't have to sit here and list off all of the awful things Trump has done since he's got in office. I shouldn't have to. It's my basic human rights that should horrify you at its core. We are drowning as a society. Fucking drowning.
We are drowning. Just drowning, guys. Going back to the Trump thing, though, if you're trying to educate someone, maybe you should list out specific examples of wrongdoing from Trump and back that up with evidence. What's this say? Rewatching this, I don't believe he can do better. I'm just trying to convince him he can. He's proved to me at his core he's a mansplaining discriminatory supremacist. Damn, you're a real bitch. Grandpa just wants to play Scrabble and you had to berate him for an hour over nothing. You're lucky he's trying to spend time with you at all. Now, I watch videos of crazy people for a living, so I know that whatever she's complaining about is not the real issue. It's just a mask, if you will. So let's get to why Raven is actually mad at her grandpa for voting for Trump.
You should care about me and how I feel in our relationship more than you should care about the fucking economy. Because again, you know it's a made-up system that we made up, and it doesn't need to be here. We don't need to exploit people. The 1% doesn't need to keep making more money, while I have none. My county has already called me and told me that my EBT and my health care under Trump are now, like, being attacked, and I have to fight for my fucking rights.
EBT, you're 24. Get a fucking job. Go bag some fries. I mean, if you want to talk about exploitation, holy shit, nothing is more exploitative than forcing other people to pay your expenses so you can spend your whole day scrolling on TikTok. Oh, wait, it appears she does have an excuse for why she can't work.
Under Biden and in state governed by walls, you saw the system deem me disposable. I wasn't allowed any cash assistance. I wasn't allowed disability. They didn't care about any of my mental or physical 15 plus diagnosed disabilities. After that, I was forced to rely on mutual aid, which is an anti-capitalist ideology. Mutual aid you gave me. Mutual aid I survived off of.
Well, that's really ungrateful of you to treat your grandfather like this after he helped you financially or gave you mutual aid when you needed it. But okay, she's disabled. She has 15-plus diagnosed physical and mental disabilities. Name them. Name one diagnosis you've received. Does she ever do that? No. I've watched tons of her videos, I've heard her repeat this line on disabilities multiple times, and she has not mentioned a single diagnosis. However, during one of the times that she claimed that she was too disabled to work, she said something about motor issues and a wheelchair, as if no one in a wheelchair has ever had a job before. So to be honest, I don't at all think that she's too disabled to work. Here's why. Now, it's hard to see because of all the text on screen, but you can see her using a screwdriver here, so clearly her hands work. Next, I have a video of her being strong enough to help move a washer. Then we have her painting, so she's able to do that. People pay to have things painted, and she already has her own mask. Here's a picture from not even a year ago where she not only is able to stand up, but also hold her fiancé up with her. Oh shit, she's actually able to pick her fiancé up and twirl her around multiple times. There are actually multiple videos of her dancing and displaying that her motor skills are just fine. And the government seems to agree that she's fine because they denied her disability.
When I became too disabled to work, they didn't care that I had been disabled my entire life. They didn't care about my 15 plus diagnosed mental and physical disabilities. They looked at my age and they told me they would throw away my disability case and my cash assistance just due to my age.
This is justice. She tried to commit welfare fraud and the government told her to F off. I mean, it's not like she has any expenses anyway. She stated in one of her videos that she lives with her fiancé's mom, she doesn't have any dependents, and she clearly can just go get a job. You don't need welfare. But not only does she not really have any expenses, she's even dumb enough to incriminate herself by openly bragging about that.
I don't know anybody that practices anti-capitalism in real life like I do. I don't have a job, I don't have a bank account, I don't have phone services, I don't overconsume, I don't consume anything that I don't need. I really do not ask my partner for anything that's not a necessity.
Yeah, this is all a lie. First, how are you filming videos and then uploading them to the internet without having some sort of agreement with a phone company or internet service provider? Second, makeup is not a necessity and you have a ton of it. I'm not stupid, I've been to a Sephora before, and I know that shit's expensive. Last, she has a Barbie collection, which is totally not materialistic or an expression of needless consumption at all.
We as a society will get literally nowhere near anti-capitalism until we, the consumers, stop over-consuming and over-indulging in capitalism.
I also love how she calls herself the best anti-capitalist that she knows, as she has her girlfriend pay for everything while she sits around all day not working. Well, actually, spending your whole life mooching off of others describes Karl Marx quite well, so maybe she is a true communist at heart. But when people point this stuff out about how she's just lazy and definitely not too disabled to work, she, like, tries to curse them through the internet.
And because the majority have not worked through their internalized ableism, I do have to note that you are always one accident or disease away from joining the disabled community, becoming too disabled to work under capitalism.
I mean, this is so stupid. In this same video, she gives a sob story about how a functional window kind of looks ugly because the contractor didn't redo the borders after the new window was put in. And after going on a tirade about how she is so moral, she essentially e-begs people to fix the window for her.
Or again, you can message me for my partner's Cash App. We have that window upstairs that needs to be fixed.
Pay for it yourself. Or, considering that you must have an insane amount of free time, how about you go onto YouTube to learn how to fix the trim? It can't be that hard to nail a few boards to a wall. Ask Grandpa Frank if you can borrow some tools. Though I'm not kidding, this girl is in her mid-20s and she has the mentality and the maturity of a 3-year-old.
Everything we could ever need in the entire world is free from the fucking ground. While the 1% is putting prices on shit that is free from the fucking ground. I don't get it. I don't understand your support of the system. I don't understand how you cannot see that your support of the system affects our relationship.
Right. Morality is when people work on farms for no pay, while I do nothing and get the fruits of their labor for free. This is slavery, you moron. You literally describe slavery as a moral good if it benefits you. Miss White Savior out here trying to save the world from capitalism with her Uncle Ruckus-ass takes on how labor should be organized. The only way to motivate large groups of people to work outside of basic necessity for no pay is to abuse them. But the abuse thing is going to make this next part make sense, where Raven goes full mask off on how abusive she is to her family.
Like, you understand. We've had talks. I know you get it. You have to change. I don't care how old you are. Like, I don't care. I seriously don't care. You could be 100 years old and I'd still sit down and have this conversation with you. And I'm having this conversation with you because I care. If I didn't give a fuck about you, I could have just blocked your number and never talked to you again, honestly. Just like I did Mom. Like, I am asking you to do better and show that you actually unconditionally love me like you say you do. Because the way you vote doesn't.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage 1. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
I know this is a hard pill for you to swallow. I am asking you to unwire years of propaganda that has been taught to you. And I know that's not easy. But if you loved me, you would.
This is called emotional blackmail. She's using her grandfather's emotional connection to her and the fact that he's old and doesn't have much time to live to assert power and control over him. Just remember, if you don't become a communist like me, I'll block you like I blocked Mom. For context, she blocked her mom 5 years ago, but she is fully aware of the cruelty she's committing here, as she said it in a different video.
Voting away my basic human rights and expecting a relationship with me? That's actually crazy. And I actually don't care how heartless any of you think I am for thinking this. I cannot wait for all of my abusers to pass away. The interview was an entire hour long. One of the questions I asked him was, had he thought for maybe 1 second that I'd already considered that he would pass away during my time of no contact? Which I did. Which a lot of you guys in the comments aren't realizing. That's something I've already considered. And that's how awful he is. Like, Republicans are so unself-aware. Like, do you know how people feel when they're around you and when we talk to you? It's triggering.
Yeah, that's pretty cruel. She continues her emotional blackmailing here.
I think you're capable of doing better no matter how old you are. And I don't think it's fair that I'm alone because you all believe in these things, these hateful ideologies. I don't think it's fair.
Right. You, the person who is voluntarily throwing people out of your life, is the one who's being abandoned right now. Unfortunately, Raven isn't the only person who lacks self-awareness of her personal choices. That chick from earlier said the same thing.
I fucking hate this administration. They have destroyed everything in my life, including my relationship with my parents.
You're really not able to take responsibility for your actions, are you? But one thing that was curious to me is that Raven said that these people in her family were abusers. Why did she say that? Well, I did some digging, and Raven claims that she had a very harsh childhood. Her mom was a drug addict, and her dad wasn't in the picture. Though Raven sort of has this unreliable narrator quality, so I don't think we can believe everything she says, but I do believe that her dad wasn't around because she never has any stories about him, and I do believe her mom was majorly into drugs because Raven states that she has a little sister who is a child, and grandpa takes care of her, not her mom. That only really happens if the mom is an addict. And this part where you wish your mom believed in abortion here is kind of rough. But addiction seems to have been a major influence in Raven's life, as her grandma was also an alcoholic. Eventually, Raven got into drugs at 17, not just doing alcohol, but hard drugs as well. However, she claims that she was able to calm down a bit after moving in with an ex-girlfriend of hers. And wow, this right here is some real borderline personality behavior. She said that she broke up with her ex because she was an alcoholic, but Raven describes alcoholic behaviors in herself, saying that she drank daily after the breakup, which means she probably drank quite a lot during the relationship too. I'd scream and cry in our room, hoping she'd check on me. She could never hear my cries. She always had her headphones on. Okay, you need treatment. If an adult is having a problem, then they speak to people up front and try to reach a compromise, not engage in this passive-aggressive behavior. Finally, Raven gets involved with her current partner, and she states that she's sober now, which I say congrats on the 5 years off of hard drugs, but I've watched her smoke weed in multiple videos, so technically she's not sober.
I've gotten dressed and ready and smoked. I've got my crochet right here.
She's still an addict. And if you don't get treatment, Raven, then you're going to go right back to the things that are more intense when life stresses you out enough. So this is her backstory on why she doesn't like her family. I would say that it's reasonable to break contact with her mom unless her mom gets treatment, because that's how you motivate addicts to change, and decisions like this will help Raven stay sober herself. However, really none of this has anything to do with Grandpa. I don't see how he's your abuser. And in a video where she alleges that her mom hit her and CPS got called, she even says that he was like her safe haven away from her abusive parents.
And my mom looks at me right in front of these CPS workers and goes, "You'll never see your aunt or grandpa again if you tell them I did this." And at the time, those were my favorite people, my safe people, away from my abusive parents. I'm like old enough to know now that they were just enablers, but those were my favorite people growing up.
Raven's argument is that he's bad because he's an enabler, which is probably true because there's a lot of addiction in her family, and addicts don't survive without enablers. But give the guy a break, he's 82, and there wasn't exactly an abundance of easily accessible mental health information when he was younger. He could have easily mistakenly got trapped into a relationship with someone who was mentally unwell, and he could have been the victim of physical or emotional abuse for years if he didn't provide grandma with alcohol. Addicts and mentally ill people can be quite convincing, and it can take years to learn how to not put up with their shit anymore. Though clearly at some point, Grandpa Frank realized his past mistakes, because Raven reports that he has apologized for his past enabling behaviors, and it sounds like he's trying to make it up to her.
I shouldn't have had to point out how you saying you failed me growing up is not changed behavior. How are you helping or protecting my younger sibling from the same abuse growing up? Are you educating her? Are you doing anything differently that you did with me? Or are you just doing like what you did with me and you're trying to buy her way through life?
Yeah, this is how I can tell that Raven is not in any sort of recovery for her addictions, because forgiveness is a big part of addiction treatment. Like, the minute that she has a life crisis that's large enough, she's going to go right back to the hard drugs. She's a ticking time bomb and is only going to make relapse more likely by cutting off ties with her family. But from the outside looking in, it seems like her mom was an unfit parent and her grandpa essentially rescued her from being put in the foster care system, but she's blaming him for what other people have done. Sure, there might have been some past actions that Grandpa could have taken to prevent Raven's mom from becoming a drug abuser, but we don't really have the story on that, and it looks like he's trying to make up for everything. Meanwhile, all Raven does is virtue signal in multiple videos about how good of a person she is.
Of course, we have an empathy problem right now as a society. It's because we allow people to sit behind their phone and behind a screen and say whatever the fuck they want without consequences. And I don't think that's how the world should work. I think there should be consequences for the shit you say. I think you should get your shit rocked if you're a bad person. And I don't feel bad for saying that. Bless my little heart.
I have a big heart and I have empathy. Do you?
Let it be known that anyone who has to tell you about how empathetic they are is probably a sociopath or a bad person.
I'm done being nice to Ethan. I gave it a chance. My sincerity and my empathy in that last video was real.
I mean, the only person in this situation who displays any understanding of empathy is Grandpa Frank.
If I continue to have a relationship with you without absolutely any change in your behavior, how I would be enabling fascism?
Let me turn that around to you. I've been honest to what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel if I said, well, if you can't change the way you believe to match my needs, how can I respect you? Shouldn't we both look at ourselves and change what we can?
So this concludes Raven's interview or tribunal with Grandpa, but it doesn't conclude the story. This TikTok was filmed shortly after the event, and I imagine after her video went viral. Here she is talking about the week following the interview.
I've been trying to go no contact with my fascist grandpa for years over his political views. I have told him he cannot vote away my rights and expect a relationship with me. But yeah, just to like underline and make this so clear, he keeps blowing up my phone, showing up to my house unannounced, trying to have a relationship with me, because the only relationships my grandfather has are the ones he has with the children he has brought into this world, his Republican children. He doesn't have any friends. The only people he has in his life is his Republican blood family. And he's having such a bad time with them that he's trying to have a relationship with me, an anti-capitalist.
Weren't you just crying about being alone and you have the audacity to make fun of your grandpa for that? By the way, just for context, if you go back to some of the screenshots that I showed earlier, you can see that his wife just died 2 years ago, which is pretty recent if you're in your 80s. So she's saying all this stuff and making fun of him knowing this. Gee, Raven, I can see why people don't want to be around you. If Grandpa has a will, I hope he writes you out of it. Wait, isn't she supposed to not have a phone or phone services? How is he blowing up your phone? Again, I will say that Raven is an unreliable narrator, so when she says that Grandpa was blowing up her phone, what actually happened is that he texted her a couple of times over multiple days, possibly almost a week. And looking at these messages, it looks like he's double texting her because he's trying to pick up some items from her for her birthday or something. But Raven couldn't answer because she was busy having a 7-hour meltdown in the bathroom.
Yesterday, I had a meltdown in the bathroom from about 5 o'clock to 12 o'clock at night, like crying, having a meltdown, not having a good time. So I never even saw his little, is it possible for me to stop by tomorrow around 11? But yeah, my whole point of this is that when you give an abuser an inch, they'll take a mile. And I was supposed to be referring to this, but he actually just invited himself over to my fucking house.
Wait, prior issues with hard drugs, spending like half the day in the bathroom and not responding to messages. Are you using hard drugs again? Is this meltdown narrative just an excuse? Because 7 hours in the bathroom sounds like the behavior of someone who is high or passed out on drugs. Like there's something that we're not being told here. Also, as someone who is describing anxiety issues, do you really think it's a smart idea to frequently smoke weed?
I can't even watch the interview video without shaking and crying. It was so traumatizing and triggering. It was awful.
What the hell? So you're saying that abusing your grandpa for an hour was traumatizing for you? A guy who is just trying to have lunch with his granddaughter during what might be the last moments of his life? Meanwhile, she's out there making the most ridiculous demands as a precondition for the relationship. Didn't you say you were lonely? Honestly, you're lucky that he wants to spend time with you after all of your abusive behavior.
And he's told me multiple times, and I know it's probably a huge lie because that's all he is capable of doing is lying and telling me what I want to hear. He's told me multiple times that he's willing to stop talking to my anti-masking family and he's willing to wear a mask. He told me last year he wouldn't vote. What did he do? He went and fucking voted away my basic human rights, even though I've sat down and showed him exactly what he's voting for. He knows what he's voting for. He knows he's voting away my basic human rights, and he doesn't care. And he doesn't think there's going to be any consequences for his actions. And there will be.
I can understand something like, hey, you need to get off drugs as a precondition of a relationship. But saying that you can't vote and you must disown anyone in the family who won't wear a mask in 2025 is insane. This is what I was talking about with how often these nut jobs will actually try to break the whole family apart by forcing people to pick sides. It's important to not cave into the demands of people like Raven because it will just encourage them to create more ridiculous rules. But let's talk about the masking thing because I've been waiting the whole video to bring it up. Let's hear why she still wears one in 2025.
The mask alone. I don't care how many of you bully me and comment, oh, I already knew where this was going to go the second I saw the mask and the purple hair. I don't care. I haven't gotten COVID not once. I've been sick once since 2020. Social distancing and masking works, whether you guys like it or not. The science is out there to prove it too, but we already know you guys don't believe in that.
Well, I think the reason that you haven't gotten sick more than once is more so because you don't have a job or friends, so you don't have a lot of exposure to other people. Masking largely doesn't do anything because everyone handles them incorrectly, or doesn't have the correct mask, or uses the mask past its expiration date. Her being afraid of COVID is ridiculous. She's 24, which means she's in the lowest risk category. Having a few sniffles isn't the worst thing in the world, and it's good for your immune system. But don't tell her that because she'll treat you like you're the devil if you dare cough around her.
But yeah, my grandpa's like in the room with me, and not only that, he's coughing up a storm, even though I asked him to reschedule with me if he had any symptoms of being sick or if he had been around anybody that was sick. He told me and looked me in the face and said, I need to get over being sick. And that alone, I'm not having a relationship with him. That was really my deciding factor. Like, he doesn't care if I get COVID and die. Like, that, obviously I can't have a relationship with somebody that believes that.
This should be embarrassing. An 82-year-old man who actually does have a risk of severe consequences from COVID is taking that cold like a champ. Meanwhile, you're cowering in fear over it. Again, if you have this much of a problem with anxiety, should you really be smoking weed? Well, honestly, I don't actually think the masking thing is about fear of getting sick. I think she just uses it as an excuse to not get a job or to control those around her, which is why she creates this moral philosophy about how she's the most caring and empathetic person in the world because she wears a mask.
Again, I mask because I care, because I love everybody. I want to protect myself and I want to protect you.
Well, clearly you don't love Grandpa. He just sounds like he's a means to an end for you when you need to vomit out your frustrations about life or when you need money.
About a month after me and my fiance got engaged, their job shut down and they became unemployed. And we had a $400 car emergency my partner could not afford to pay. We had to call my grandpa and have him help us with the cost of the car.
Obviously, she doesn't appreciate this favor at all. And it sounds like that when she said unconditional love earlier, what she actually meant was, you will love me even if I abuse you. That's not love, and I bring this up because demanding unconditional love seems to be a common tactic that abusers use. Someone demanding that in a relationship is a red flag for me. And I say it's a red flag because love is very often about giving people what they need and not what they say they want. And when you give them what they need, they will often not like you. I think Grandpa Frank is just putting up with the outlandish behavior from Raven because he doesn't know how to handle it. In reality, he needs to learn how to tell her no. Let her screw up her life if she continues to make bad decisions. Let her fix her own problems. Let her fix her own car. And refuse to be around her if she behaves abusively. That is the only thing that will convince her to change. She needs to suffer, and the more he prevents her from suffering, the more she will treat him like shit. Recently, a YouTuber who goes by Razorfist recommended an excellent book on this topic called Stop Walking on Eggshells, and it's about borderline personality disorder. It's a short book, and I think it's relevant to the topic at hand because Raven presents a lot of borderline behavior. I'm not a therapist, but she needs to get a professional diagnosis for her behavior so she can learn to manage it instead of letting it ruin her life. As for everyone else, in order to live a happy life and carry out good relationships, it's important to learn how to identify disordered mental behavior so you can do what the book Stop Walking on Eggshells recommends, which is to run. And I'm not joking when I say run or leave. You are not qualified to treat or fix a person with borderline personality disorder, and getting emotionally entangled with someone like that will bring you a lot of personal and possibly dangerous hardship. The only exception would be if the person with BPD has already undergone years of treatment and can show you that they know how to manage their behaviors. However, you need to take care of your needs first, and their mental health treatment is not your responsibility. Making it your responsibility will only make them more sick. Now, certainly, not everybody around someone with a borderline personality can just leave like it's a bad first date. Some people, like Grandpa Frank, are far more entangled, and for that, Stop Walking on Eggshells has some great recommendations. But they will only work if you're willing to leave and if you're willing to let the person with BPD suffer the consequences of their bad decisions. Anyway, thanks for watching, follow me on Twitter, and I'll see you in the next video.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.